Thank you. morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Great to see you all here. Very special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us today. If you live in the area and are looking for a church to be your very own home, we'd love to have you join us here at Atonement. Just speak to me and we'll make sure that happens soon. And if you are traveling on this beautiful day, we pray for safe travel and a joyful homecoming for you. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at his table today. This is Christ the King Sunday, so it's the last Sunday in the church's year. Next Sunday when you show up, the Advent wreath will be up, and we'll start a brand new year on the first Sunday of Advent, and we will begin marking our way through the Advent season toward our celebration of Christmas. So, time marches on, right? Tomorrow evening, it's our turn to serve the Stone Soup Supper at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church. There's information on the Words of the Week about how you can help with that, so please do participate. It's always a good time. Anything else need to be announced this morning? If not, please stand for the Christ the King responsory gathering around the throne. You'll need your hymnal open to hymn number 413 and your bulletin. Seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. Serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Says the Lord God, who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Thank you. pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you anointed your beloved Son to be priest and sovereign forever. Grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by sin, may be united under the glorious and gentle rule of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to invite the children to come forward for the children's message. It's just you and me today. And Willow. Good morning. How's Abby today? Good. How's Willow today? Good. I'm glad you're both good. I'm good too. What's on your shirt? Unicorns and mermaids. Cool. So today is Christ the King Sunday, when we celebrate that Jesus Christ is our King. And that made me think of a movie that my kids made me watch about a bazillion times called The Lion King. You know that movie? Have you seen that like a bazillion times too? A few times, huh? So who's the main character in The Lion King? You can't remember? The main character is a little lion named Simba, who, as a lion, he was born to be king of the beasts. And in one scene from that movie, he sings probably the favorite song, probably the big song from the movie, I just can't wait to be king. And he says in that song, so one of the things that he really wants to be, why he wants to be king, is because he's getting tired of being bossed around, right? He didn't want to hear anyone say, do this or stop that. He wanted to be free to run around and do whatever he wanted to do all day long, right? So he says in his song, I'm going to be a mighty king, so enemies beware. I'm going to be the main event, M-A-N-E, event, like no king was before. I'm brushing up on looking down. I'm working on my roar. Oh, I just can't wait to be king. That's your dad's favorite song? Because he can't wait to be king too, right? Yeah. So I think Simba had a really poor idea what it is to be king. And it's certainly not the kind of king that Jesus was. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but I came to serve. He said, I didn't come to be a big deal. I came to be a servant of all. And then he says to each of us, if you live in my kingdom, you are called to be servants of all too, right? So we're not supposed to be big deals. We're supposed to be servants of all. Lovers of God, lovers of people, right? That's what it means to live in God's kingdom, according to Jesus. So let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior, our Lord, and our King. We thank you for his gracious love for us and for his calling to all of us to be a part of the kingdom of God. Help us to live in that kingdom and help us to be servants of that kingdom each and every day of our lives. Bless these children today and always and keep them in your care. Amen. Thank you, kids. You can go out for Sunday school now, I think.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Christ the King Sunday, and the first lesson is found in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. To the community for whom this passage was written, it seemed as though the oppression they were experiencing would never end. Daniel's message is, "It shall end. The Ancient One, who is judge, will call all nations to account and will give dominion to one like a human being, the Messiah." Hear now the word. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night, visions I saw like a human being coming from the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is the one that shall never be destroyed. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is found on page 2 of your bulletin. It is Psalm 93, and we will read it responsively. The King is Lord. The Lord is King, robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The Lord has made the world so sure that it cannot be moved.
Ever since the world began, your throne has been established. You are from everlasting.
The waters have lifted up, O Lord. The waters have lifted up their voice. The waters have lifted up their pounding waves.
Mightier than the sound of many waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, mightier is the Lord who dwells on high.
Your testimonies are very sure, and holiness befits your house, O Lord, forever and forevermore. The second lesson is found in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, beginning with verse 4b. The book of Revelation begins by celebrating the Almighty God who spans all of time. Similarly, Jesus is celebrated as the firstborn from the dead who rules over the world's rulers. He is the one whose return we eagerly await. Hear now the word. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming from the cloud with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. John, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Several years ago, folk singer and songwriter David Gordon wrote a song entitled "King of the Whole Wide World." The song was a lament of a man who had a most peculiar problem. The last two lines of the refrain explains the problem. "I'm the king. I'm the king of the whole wide world, and nobody knows but me." Well, this humorous song asks us to explore the possibilities of such an unlikely situation. Imagine the awful burden he bears, being king of the whole wide world, but having no one who recognizes his royal stature. It seems more than a little far-fetched, and yet that is exactly the situation that we find in our gospel reading for today, as Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is dragged by Roman soldiers before the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. John tells us that it is early in the morning when this occurs, so you can imagine that Pilate is quite annoyed to have his morning routine interrupted by the arrival of this Jewish peasant. Pilate looks at Jesus with a mixture of scorn and contempt, and he sees nothing royal in Jesus at all. Jesus stands there quietly, his face bloody and swollen from the beating he's received from the Jews. Outside in the courtyard, the whip stands ready, which will soon tear into Jesus' back, and the laughing Roman soldiers are busy weaving a crown of thorns, which will soon be pushed down on his head. One can almost see Pilate, his annoyed face twisted into a sarcastic smile as he confronts this lowly Jewish peasant. "So, you are a king," he says to Jesus. Preposterous, he must have thought. Who does this man think that he is? He must be mad. And if you stop to think about it for a moment, the evidence against Jesus is rather overwhelming. He certainly doesn't look like any king we've ever seen or heard of before. The kings we know of are born in palaces, laid in golden cradles, and have scores of nursemaids and servants to take care of them. Their infant life is one of comfort and ease. But Jesus, as we will soon hear again, was born in a stable and a cradle, and his cradle was a feed trough. His birth was witnessed by only a few farm animals and some smelly shepherds. Jesus began his life not as a pampered prince, but as a political refugee, fleeing a mad king who is bent on putting him to death. The kings we know of live in luxury with palaces and palatial summer homes on the coast. They ride around in limousines and yachts. Jesus, however, walked the dusty streets of Palestine and had no place to lay his head. The kings we know of surround themselves with the royal court, with the highest of society, with the elite, princes and princesses, lords and ladies, dukes and duchesses. Jesus, on the other hand, was surrounded mostly by lowlifes. His motley crew of followers included fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, zealots, and other outcasts and sinners. The kings we know of wear only the finest clothing, well-tailored and expensive. They wear crowns adorned with jewels and sit high on lofty thrones. But Jesus wore the garb of a peasant, rough and threadbare, The only crown he ever wore pierced his skin with its thorns, and the only ascent he ever made was to a place called Golgotha, where he was nailed to a cross. The kings we know of demand subservience. They are Lord, and if you know what's good for you, you will do what they say. But Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life away as a ransom for many. Truly, it was difficult, if not impossible, for Pilate to recognize the lordship, the kingliness of Jesus, for he didn't fit into any of the standard categories. Pilate stands there with the power and might of the Roman Empire behind him and looks at this beaten, disheveled, and bleeding Jew, and he asks, are you a king? It didn't make sense to him. And truth be told, it doesn't make much sense to us either. We too often have a difficult time recognizing Jesus as king. It is difficult with the eyes of the world to see Jesus as a king, for never was a king so lowly. Never has a king walked so comfortably among common people. Never has a king been willing to give up so much for the sake of his people. We too stumble over the idea that the King of Kings should be lifted up on a cross with a crown of thorns pressed down upon his head and a sign over his head which read as a great big joke, "This is the King of the Jews." And yet, ironic as it is, the sign told the truth. He is the King of the Jews. And he's your king, and he's mine. We look upon this one who shunned the riches, the power, and the glory that the world offered, and who instead became lowly and suffered and died for us. And we are reminded once again that God's ways are not our ways. For in Jesus, we are talking about a different kind of king altogether. Here is a king who feels our pain and who accepts our sorrows. Here is a king who invaded our world in human skin and took head-on the powers that enslave us. In his dying and in his rising again, he defeated all the powers that hold us oppressed so that in the power of his love, we might live freely both now and forever. When Pilate questioned Jesus, seeking in a half-hearted way at best to understand him, Jesus finally replied, "My kingdom is not from this world. But for this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Jesus, our King, came to this earth to tell us the truth about God and about what it means to live in God's kingdom. He came to show us that God is a God of love and compassion, a God who stoops down in grace to deliver his people from all that oppresses them. He came to show us that God is a God of life, a God who will do whatever it takes to bring his people to life eternal in his kingdom. He came to show us that where God's reign is best seen in this world is not in the rich and the powerful, the famous or the pious, but God's reign is best seen in a widow who drops her last 2 cents into the offering plate as a gift of love and devotion. God's reign is best seen in a Samaritan who stoops down to help one who is beaten. God's reign is best seen in a loving father who welcomes home a wayward son with open arms. God's reign is best seen at the foot of a bloody cross where his only son hanged dying and yet cried out with a loud voice, "Father, forgive them." The world stands alongside Pilate looking at this beaten peasant. The world stands at the foot of a cross and says, this is a king? And we people of faith say, yes, this is a king. He is my king, and even if you don't know it, he is your king too. So as we end the church here today on this Christ the King Sunday, as we end another year of living in and by the grace of God, let us celebrate the fact that we do have a king. A king who has come to us in our baptism and said to us, "Child of God, prince or princess in God's kingdom, you are mine. From now on, I will live in you and you in me, and nothing will ever part us again." Let us celebrate the fact that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and that he holds all things in his hands. Let us celebrate the fact that he is in control, even when life seems confusing and chaotic and frightfully out of control. He is in control. He who hung the stars in space and set the planets in motion and laid the very foundations of this earth, he is on his throne ruling for us. And because of that, we can know that we are safe in his care. For he is our king, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand as we sing, O Christ, What Can It Mean For Us, number 431.
prayers with the people of God gathered here and throughout the world, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Almighty God, you love us and free us through the death and resurrection of your Son. Lead your church through the gospel. Bless pastors, deacons, musicians, teachers, and all who speak your truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Reveal your goodness through the majesty of what you have created. Bring favorable weather to places afflicted by storms. Protect plants and animals from devastation, and guide us in our use of all natural resources. God, Lord, in your mercy, you desire justice in the world. Grant to the courts wise and discerning judges, attorneys, and public defenders, and guide the rulers of nations to bring about peace. Lord, in your mercy, you are our beginning and end. Soothe the afflicted, comfort the distressed, console the bereaved, heal the sick. Give all who provide care a measure of your compassion and peace. Lord, in your mercy, you call us to serve our neighbors. Nourish us with word and sacrament so that we serve as your hands and feet in the world. Protect those who are traveling and bless those who are unable to attend worship today. Lord, in your mercy, your dominion is forever and ever. We give thanks for the faithful departed who live with the saints of all ages in your infinite love. Lord, in your mercy,
we do indeed lift you all who are broken this day in body, mind, or spirit, O God, remembering especially in our prayers today Kevin Lent, Judy Whitlatch, Megan Young, John Stern, Tracy Meister, Raymond Duarte, Allie Phelps, Ed Lord, Sarah Snyder, Laura Cusick, Pam Archer, Judy Hitland, Sandy Rumagu, David and Donna Bowman, Ann Swinehart, Kevin White, Nick Weisner, Lynn Clark, and Shannon White. Come to these and to all who are broken this day, O God, and fill them with your gifts of healing and wholeness, with your presence and your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear now the prayers of these your children, O God, whether we speak those prayers to you aloud or whisper them to you in the silence of our hearts. Hear our prayers, O God, spoken and silent, that we commend to you this day. For we trust in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Share that peace with your brothers and sisters. Our service will continue now with the offering. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory, through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
Surrounded by evil and bordered by death, we appeal to you, our sovereign, our wisdom, and our judge. We praise you for Christ, who proclaimed your reign of peace and promised an end to injustice and harm. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, the sacrifice of his life and death and the victory of his resurrection, we await with all the saints his loving redemption of our suffering world. Send your Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine, and on all who share in the body of your Son. Teach us your mercy and justice, and make all things new in Jesus Christ, our King, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The sacrament will be received today by infusion. You will come forward and receive a wafer, which you can then dip into either the wine in the large chalice or the grape juice in the small. I also have gluten-free wafers available. If you have need of those, let me know when you come forward. Come to us, O Lord, in the breaking of the bread, and make us one with you. We sing the Lamb of God.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you always in God's grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, the host of every meal, at this table you spread out a feast for all peoples, the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Send us from this banquet to invite others into your love and to care for the least of our brothers and sisters, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father of glory, Jesus Christ, our peace, and the Spirit of truth be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Our sending hymn is Lead On, O King Eternal, number 805. Serve Jesus Christ, your Lord and King. Thanks be to God.